As the children are leaving, I want to tell you again today what you've probably picked up on it. You know that we're going to hear today from our team that went in late April or mid-April, and so we're just blessed to have Dwayne to Luke. I told you you could stay up here, man. He felt awkward just sitting up here. He got done with his job pretty quick. But his son Luke, and then we have Dr. Chan and his wife is here with him today supporting them. And I just can't wait to hear. I really haven't even got to hear. We've just been so busy a whole lot about it. And so I'm looking forward to hearing about it and what really God is doing there. So I would like, if you just kind of give it up for them just to show them support, let's give them a round of applause. Y'all come on up. As they're coming up, I want to say this. When I see, as the pastor, this stuff going on in the church, the pews can be full, and we could have two or three services for so many people coming, but the things that really, as I grow closer to my walk with the Lord, y'all come on up, guys, don't be shy. As I grow closer, and as I grow more, and I strive to be more of a godly leader and to lead how Jesus wants me to lead, this is the stuff that brings me encouragement. That when I see people showing up and serving and being willing to leave and go places, get out of their comfort zone and go and to do the work of the ministry. That's what a successful church looks like. And so I just thank you all for making me feel successful through your submission to the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
I love that video because it not only shows what we're doing there, but it shows the possibilities of what can be done there. You know, you don't have to be able to pick up a hoe and make a semi-straight row in a field. You can just pick a baby up when they fall over. Or you can give somebody a hug. So, you know, that song also has a special meaning too, the heart of worship. It talks about one of the lines says, I'm sorry for what I made it, but I'm getting back to the heart of worship. And there's been a point at some point in every trip I've made where I have that feeling. You go ahead to the next slide if you don't mind. I'm going to try to be not long-winded today, which is difficult for me. You guys, most of you have heard from me before, and I don't want to take up most of the time today because, you know, I'm so honored to be here with Dan and Luke. Because as you can see in the first picture there, that was the team on this trip. It was actually the first time that Dan and I had gone anywhere together besides Panera Bread. Back in, I think it was February of 2020, right after Malcolm and I had just returned from Uganda the last time, I met Dan through the way that God does things. He had met Malcolm and learned about the seed ministry and what we're doing, and was interested in that and interested in making a trip with us. And of course, if you know what happened after February of 2020, the whole world shut down for a little while. So that kind of got delayed until this year. But God bless Dan with his perseverance and his commitment to fulfilling that calling to go and help others all the way up until the week before when his passport finally came in. He was committed, and he went with Luke and I. And really, the first time we had spent any significant amount of time together started there at that picture in the airport when we all met. But, you know, I'm going to tell you about the orphanage, kind of some of the things we have done, and update you on some of our work so far. And then I'm going to let Luke and Dan really tell you about their experience there. If nothing else comes through today, I hope that you can hear from us what God's doing in other parts of the world, how it's impacted us, and what opportunity also exists for you to be involved. So, as you can see in that picture on the far right, you're never without hugs unless you just don't want them at the orphanage. Everywhere you go, there's children looking for a hug. And I always tell everyone that because, you know, they have between, I think they had one of the lowest points during this visit, which was 270, but, you know, well over 400 at times orphans in this one orphanage, in the Emmanuel Orphanage. And, you know, there are adults in charge of them, But if you think about that many children, there's not enough hugs to go around every day. So all the hugs you can give out are precious to them. And you see the scripture there. We always think about James, in the book of James, where the word tells us that pure and undefiled religion is aiding the orphans and widows in their distress. But, you know, way before that, the prophet Jeremiah brought us God's wisdom too, and tells us about God's promise to protect them. And I can tell you this truly is an environment where God has moved another couple. You saw them in the video, David and Lydia Martinez. They started this orphanage back in the late 80s. And for those of you that were born after the 80s, that was before cell phones, that was before emails. The closest phone for them at that point was 2.5-3 hours away. So God prompted them to move there and start this orphanage. They did. It's in the middle of Honduras near a little town called Guayamaca. And over the years, God has blessed them by bringing others alongside them since that time. They started with a closed down cattle ranch, and now it's grown to being able to house 400 plus orphans. They have round the clock security, and because of people from America over the years that have partnered with them, they have a lot of modern conveniences. So if you've always wanted to go on a mission trip, but you just are afraid of having to sleep in a hut or be without running water or things of that nature, this is your spot. They have very comfortable accommodations for anyone that can accommodate large groups up to 90 at a time, if need be. So it's a very safe, very comfortable place to go and serve God while loving others. So go ahead and click if you would. So Malcolm Warfield and I first went in April of 2022, and we started trying to help them get back on track, because as the rest of the world shut down during the pandemic, the orphans also lost a lot of support they were receiving here, a lot of visits. As a matter of fact, Malcolm and I were the first people to return to the orphanage since the pandemic had started last year. And their farmland was just barren. Their greenhouses were just sitting, and there were very few workers at that time trying to take care of all those orphans. So we did what we could with the seeds that we had access to. And, you know, locally we bought some more seeds, and we started helping them plant crops and tilling the soil. And, you know, over the past year, they've gone from a place now of pretty much feeling forgotten about and having barren farmland to now eating the produce that they're producing. They're not completely self-sustainable at this time, but hopefully there are others partnering too to help them get to that point. But they have a lot more than where they were at when we found them. So those pictures were just some of the produce they've grown. They also, what was really rewarding to me was to be able to actually see the cooks in the large kitchen preparing the produce that was being grown there. And we also replanted some of the seeds that we had taught them to save back for replanting. One of the biggest projects that I wanted to take on with the seed ministry this time was getting their greenhouses recovered, because they have warm weather all year round, but they have dry seasons and wet seasons. During the wet season, it is very wet, and the root rot is a very big problem with the crops in the field we found there. So you can see in that far, for me, it's the left picture, I'm sure it is for you too, the man in the red hat, his name is Thomas. God works in mysterious ways, because we met Thomas as an agricultural engineer, consulting with him through another contact we had there, another pastor, to hopefully help get the greenhouses recovered. And as God works in mysterious ways, we showed up to treat a lady for her issues in the mountains one day, and it was actually Thomas's mother, so Dr. Chan took care of his mother. And Thomas was so grateful and inspired, he volunteered to donate his time and knowledge to come back and install the plastic if we would just purchase it. So the plastic has been purchased through his connections. I had almost given up. I couldn't find the plastic, but Thomas connected us with the right people, and the seed ministry was able to donate enough to purchase the plastic, and now it has arrived as of last week, and Thomas is trying to find the necessary supplies to install it. He's going to come back and install it for free with his team. So, you know, if you'll just be obedient, God will bless it, and he will work it out. I got to the point in this trip where I thought, okay, this is not going to happen. I can't find the plastic. Every store I went to all around the area didn't have what I needed, which is a very real thing in a third world setting. You know, you can demand it all you want, but it doesn't mean the supply is going to be there. But God worked it out for us at the end of our trip, and we connected with Thomas. And, you know, we decided to shift focus in this trip because I didn't think I was going to find the plastic. So we worked together to plant, I would say, best guesstimate I could do was between 4 and 5 acres of corn and beans. And we helped them replant in the greenhouse, a lot of greens, a lot of vegetables and stuff like that, carrots, to help feed the orphans and help them get some of their raised beds back in order and mix some new soil. But, you know, we went with the plan just to get the greenhouses recovered and planted, and God connected us with a resource to get them recovered and plant all those crops for them. So praise God. He's always faithful. And just some of the progress they've made as an orphanage to date. When we first started going, and then when I returned with my family last year, you know, we arrived on site. It took us a couple of days to get situated, and we would say, okay, can we get this field prepared? You know, can we work with you and turn this field over? This time when we arrived, they had plowed the fields freshly a day or so before we arrived. So they've gotten into a rhythm now of learning to prepare the soil routinely and replant throughout the year, and turn the soil over before the rainy season gets there to plant a bunch of corn and such. So that was huge progress, the fact that they have become part of their routine, you know, over the 3 visits that I've been there, and then Malcolm has been as well. So this was our 4th contact collectively with them in just the first year. So it's very encouraging to see not just the fruits of your labors being utilized, but also the progress they're making towards becoming self-sufficient and feeding themselves. But, you know, all of that pales in comparison to the spiritual impact that's going on there. You know, they're pretty isolated in this rural area of Honduras. They don't get as many visitors as they once did. So a lot of these children don't even recall, the younger children don't even recall having all these visitors coming from the outside world in, coming in and saying, you know what, Jesus loves you and so do I. We care about you. That to me is one of the most important seeds that we carry down there, the seeds of hope, the seed of Christ's love. And on this trip, I have to admit God really did spoil me because he not only provided a way for the greenhouses and all the planting, he prompted Luke, my oldest son, to go with me, who is taller than me now and probably can outwork me in the field. So it was such a huge help having him there to help with the agriculture. And then, of course, having Dan go with us. I won't steal their thunder. I'll let them tell their own story. But God accomplished so much and helped us make so many connections in the community by sending the 3 of us down there. So I'm still just kind of in awe at all that was accomplished and all the people we met during that trip. But and I was also honored to get to see Luke and Dan preach to the orphans on Sundays instead of me. That was it was a huge blessing to me just to see what God was doing in them. But with that, you go into the next slide. I'm going to leave you with this thought: what can you do? As we go through this presentation today, ask yourself, what can you do? You know, can you hug a child? Can you invest in a young mother that maybe is 12, 13, 14 years old? Doesn't know how to care for a baby at the orphanage? Can you grow plants? Do you know how to farm? Do you know how to work a sewing machine? Anything that you can do, any talent you have, I guarantee you there is an opportunity for it to be used there at the orphanage. So if God prompts you to take that next step and go to the orphans at their point of need, then I strongly encourage you to be obedient. So I'm going to pass it off to Luke and let them share their experience.
Firstly, I want to thank everybody who, you know, helped us, you know, through this trip, whether it's through donations or, you know, praying, whatever. That was, you know, it wouldn't have been possible without all, you know, all y'all doing that. So I want to say thank you for that. And, but, you know, kind of like what Dad was speaking on a little bit, you know, God's working in that orphanage and even just on like the agriculture side. So like he was saying with, you know, with those fields, we got there and they'd already prepared those fields for us before we even got there. When, you know, before the past trips, like you had to start from scratch pretty much. So even on the agriculture side, God's working. And it's really good because with, you know, us working these fields and whatnot, we take a lot of the younger, you know, boys or whatever, and we teach them how to work and whatnot. So they're learning how to work hard, and they're learning a good skill because they're learning how to, you know, grow their own food, you know, provide for themselves. And they get to see that. And it works out well because then we can use the analogy a lot, you know, with messages and stuff, you know, how you can plant a seed in the ground, you know, give it some water, sunlight, and it turns into this, you know, big tree, plant or whatever. So with that, you know, we can say, you know, God can plant a seed in you, or someone else can plant a seed in you. And through God, he can do amazing things, you know, things you didn't imagine. And so it works out really well with the way God's working with him. And yeah, so that's a big part with the agriculture. But another thing, like I was talking about with all the little kids, you can kind of see on the picture there on the left, you know, they, like Dad was saying, they love the attention because there's a lot of kids there, and they, you know, they're fed, they're clothed, and they're loved, but they don't get that one-on-one attention. So that's probably one of my favorite parts of the trip, is being able just to go, you know, play with the kids, hug with them. And I don't know, it's one of the most enjoyable parts, is being able to see the little kids and see the joy when you just, you know, give them a hug. But and also, like Dad said, you know, talking about us giving the message, one Wednesday evening I gave the message, and that was cool, you know, because I don't usually speak in front of people, so it was a good experience. But, you know, praise God, the good Lord provided. He, you know, he helped me through it, because I can promise you I wouldn't have been able to get a few words out without, you know, trusting in God and having to, you know, work with that. But it's a really good experience, you know, getting out of your comfort zone and whatnot. But through this trip, at least personally, I know we hopefully help the orphanage, you know, become a little bit more self-sustainable, hopefully spread Jesus' love a little bit. But it also really impacted me and, you know, personally brought me closer to God, because through these, you know, like 10 days we were gone, we, you know, we just were focused on God and what he had, what he, you know, what his will was, what his plan was. And it was an awesome experience, you know, really just focusing and putting like every part of your day to like, what does God want me to do? What can I do for God? And that was just an awesome part, is, you know, being able to focus on God and really grow closer to him. And you know, see how lucky I am, because being in a third world country, I get to see, you know, some people living with barely anything, because I see them and they're, you know, some people live under a cardboard box, and I'm over here complaining when the house gets a little too hot, and but they got nothing. So it shows how blessed and lucky I am to live in the country I do. And also a big thing is I get to see how blessed I am to have been raised in a Christian household and have, you know, two parents, you know, that raised me, you know, through the Bible. Because all these kids, you know, they come from, you know, a lot of them come from bad places or dark places, and they won't ever know the feeling of, you know, always having two parents to lean on. Like, they have people that, you know, love them and the founders, but they won't ever know that feeling. So it's really humbling to see what some of these kids had to deal with. But I don't know, it's a really good experience. It blessed me, and hopefully it blessed them. But I wanted to read a Bible verse real quick. Pretty well-known one. It's Matthew 28:16-20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I've given you, the commands I've given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So don't know, that's a good verse to remember, you know, things like this. You know, you don't have to necessarily go to Honduras to, you know, make disciples. It could be your neighbor or whatever. So I don't know. That's a good verse to remember, in my opinion, but I'm going to hand it off to Dan. So.
Thank you. First of all, whatever I say from now on is to glorify God and to let you know that my goal and intent is to follow Jesus. Of course, I want to thank my wife for being here. We've been married for about 26 years, right? What, the best thing I ever did in my life. Oh, sorry. Yeah. We've been married 3 times. I think 12th year was her first renewal. And then 25 years renewal of vows. So it's the best thing I ever did. And of course, for Dwayne, his leadership, his friendship. I mean, we're brothers for life. I will always be thankful for his friendship, his kindness, and his faithfulness. And of course, meeting his family and Luke and everyone else, it's a total blessing. I know you don't know me, so I'm gonna spend a minute talking about myself. That's the only way you get to know me really, 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 really fast. 1 minute. My wife and I are from Hawaii. We moved from Hawaii to Virginia in pursuit of, you know, my medical degree. And the reason why I even became a doctor is to honor my parents, my family, and of course, our children. My dad had a stroke and a heart attack, and he subsequently died years later from kidney disease. And my mom worked 3 jobs to avoid welfare, and the 3 of us in foster care. So, the only way that kids can honor their parents is to be good. And everybody who's a parent knows they want their kids to be thriving and sustaining, self-sustaining to the point where they're better than they were before. So the best way that I could honor them is to become a better person of myself. So I became a doctor. So for the last 20 years, when I work, I look for him. And over 10, 15 years, I found him many times. My goal is that no one loses their parent. So hope that helps. You get to know me. Anyway, trained at UVA, fantastic, wonderful friendship, wonderful colleagues, and I hope I help at least one person throughout my career. So that's that. So we'll talk about the Honduras. I met Malcolm at a work setting, and then he has a good presence about him. He's very kind, very open, serving God. And I'm like, you know, I want to help people too. I'm going to follow him. And even though our church does West Virginia ministry, rebuild houses and whatnot, and do all kinds of things, there's nothing that we do internationally. So I wanted to do that. So anyhow, we met in Panera, like Dwayne said, in 2020, seemed like forever ago. And then Malcolm said, hey, you know, I'm bringing my right-hand man. His name is Dwayne. You'll love him. I said, great. And sure enough, I did. And then, of course, the blip occurred, right? Everybody lost 3-4 years instead of 5. And then now, spring to the present, we end up going to Honduras instead of Uganda, which is also a total blessing. On the picture, you can see that's a picture of a whole bunch of kids, not even all of them. And every one of them has fantastic stories, tough stories, but they're just trying to live the day and make a better life for themselves for the future. So next slide, please. So this is, you know, you know Dwayne, of course, my wife and I on the right-hand side of the picture and Malcolm in the middle. About a month, was it a month or 2 weeks? Anyways, between 2 or 4 weeks after our trip, we had a kind of a powwow at Wahoo Barbecue just to talk and chat and reconnect. So that was really good. Next slide, please. So I always wanted to help people and find a way to pass on the blessing that God blessed me. So here's a verse that I really loved. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. So I don't know much. I'm just a lost person like everybody else, trying to glorify God, trying to find his way, trying to make a difference before my day comes when I'm 95 or whatever day that is. So next slide, please. So in our church, Chestnut Grove Baptist Church in Earliesville, we were asked to give a couple stories. So Felipe is a guy in the middle, real nice dude. He used to be a prior orphan, and I'll get to his story slides later. The girl on the right, her name is Tara. She's from Ireland, but she's my translator when we're doing medical work helping the orphans. She is going to marry a prior orphan, who, of course, they met at the orphanage, I believe, but she's really cool, really nice. If you ever meet her, you'll love her. The best thing I ever learned from her was her phrase, just get on with it. That's an Irish phrase, so just get on with it, okay? So I love that. Anyhow, Felipe has a medical issues. Next slide, please. And his back was sore. He was sitting on a dilapidated couch, real soft. He got up. He herniated his disc in his back, and he had pain. And we threw pills at him. I gave him shots, pills after pills after pills. But all the whole time, he never complained. He never complained. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Galatians 5, 22 to 23. So these are characteristics of Jesus Christ. And I met Felipe, and after a bit, I realized why he was so approachable and gentle and kind, because he has a lot of characteristics of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I instantly love him. Great guy. Next picture, please. So on his upper right, on his phone app, it says, I love God because he loved me first. This is a picture of him and his brother that he sent me. So he told me during the time I was helping him in the medical setting, and of course becoming his friend as well, he was orphan number 11. And I made a very, very, very bad joke. I said, hey man, I'm really hungry. You're done with your medical appointment. You want to get some pills for your back, or you want to go eat? He goes, oh, let's go eat. I said, great, me too, let's go eat. And this is the part where I made a really, really bad joke. I said, I'm really sorry, man. My worms are really hungry. Let's go eat. I said, oh, man, I'm really sorry. I kind of forgot where I was, and that was not appropriate. He goes, oh, don't worry, don't worry. Me and my brother were 4 and 5 years old, or 4 and 3 years old, and we were playing in the dirt, and we had worms. I didn't know anything. All I know is we were picked up by Honduras version of CPS, and then my life didn't begin until I was at Emmanuel Orphanage. So he was number 11. So he's, of course, he grew up there, he works there. I think there are 33-ish adults who also serve Lord and the other orphanages there. And you can read what it says there. It's pretty amazing. Next slide. So, of course, Dwayne talked about Dave and Lydia. They call them Mommy and Poppy. That tiny arrow with a very, very fine print. It says on their calendar, they've helped over 2,500 orphans in 33 years. So, I mean, who hasn't been called to do something, right? It happens to me every church service. I'm going to do it. As soon as I go home, I'm not doing that. Right? Every time, right? But these folks went to church service. He had a vision. He saw the sun and a whole bunch of dead babies. And then shortly thereafter, he sold everything, went to Honduras. Him and Lydia went up and down the mountains on horseback, preaching and eating very bad food. So, I mean, if that's not conviction, I don't know what is, right? Next slide. So, we have two daughters. Our oldest is 25, youngest is 23. Love them. I don't think we're bad parents, but you can ask them. Our oldest daughter is Lindsay. She's estranged from us. We don't know why. We have some clue. It's just one of the most difficult things we've ever had to do. All we can do is pray and ask for God's forgiveness and pray at one point that we see her again before I die. Right. So anyway, one of these days, we were in Honduras. I was feeling sorry for myself. I was in self-pity and doubt. And I was walking down to this area, and I was listening to Pavarotti and Mamiya Bobino. And opera, because that was one of the most emotional musics there's out there, I believe. Anyway, these girls came by, and they're just, you know, they're just them being themselves with their own struggles, probably way deeper than mine I could ever imagine. And I'm like, hey, it's an opportunity to talk to them, show my binoculars, because I was birding, looking at the beauty of the area. And then Next slide, please. And then I was teaching them math. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna teach them math to see how far they got. And they're like 4 years behind. I was teaching them algebra. We're arguing about how to do certain things. I didn't speak any Spanish, but with a phone app, you can almost do anything nowadays. So I did that. The binoculars, they never saw that in their life. They looked at things and they were in amazement and wonder. And it went around and around and around, and I didn't see it for the most of the day. So if you ever go there, bring binoculars, they will love you, right? So, okay, next slide. So anyhow, I don't hope you can read that, but if you love people, and I'm sure you do because you wouldn't be around all these other people, if you can't help a kid, if you can't love a kid, if you can't help a kid become a better version of yourself or help society better, then I don't know what we're doing as a society. So that's, I believe that. Next slide. So I took this picture of Honduras in the Fibonacci sequence fashion. If you don't know what that is, look it up, it's pretty cool. It's red because of the smoke. There was fire all over the mountains outside. If you guys remember the Canadian fires a couple weeks ago, it's still really bad, and how New York and Jersey was really red skies, it's the same reason, okay? That's why it's red, okay? Next slide. Another shot, same thing, sun's in the bottom corner, very dead center in the middle is a bird. So all I ever saw was stupid doves, right? And woodpeckers, they're pretty big, but you know, I was like, come on, I'm gonna see the toucan, and no, I couldn't see none of that. It's just, it wasn't meant to be. There's just parakeets there. They saw parakeets, they weren't even trying. Here I am looking outside like a fool, but I saw nothing, but okay, fine, whatever. So just know God has a very good sense of humor, okay? Next slide. So I met these three people. They're all orphans, they're all God's servants. They are very, very good people. But same thing, just like you and I, trying to find their way, trying to make a difference, trying to follow God. Alex on the left, Sylvan in the middle, and of course, Felipe, you know, on the right. My goal is to bring them to Virginia to tell their story at our church and maybe your church too, because I can tell their story, right? But it's not my story to tell. It's their story to tell. My goal is to have them come over, talk to some of our folks. They can see the world in Virginia. I'm going to take them to Smithsonian, Philadelphia Museum of Arts, not because I need to expose them for themselves, but when they go back to Honduras, tell the other orphans what the world can be like, what the possibilities are. Because I believe what Dave and Lydia did is fantastic, but to me, in a very sad phrase, it's still a beautiful cage. Because when they're 18, they're kicked out. And you can come back to work, you can come back to volunteer, you can do this, but what are your chances, right? So do the math, okay? 33 adults, over 2,500 kids. What's the math? What's the percentage of people coming back to help out? It's like, what, 0.8%? Really low, right? What about everybody else? What happens to them? I don't know. Next slide. That's it? Oh, that's it, okay. Anyway, I hope that helps. Once again, the objective is to remember to glorify God, to follow Jesus. I'm lost like everybody else. I'm just trying to find my way, but he has my number. He has my number. If you ever need to get a hold of me, see my slides, talk to me, if you need free medical advice, I'm happy to help, because my intent is to help people.
Thank you both very much. And, you know, I'll say publicly, I'm proud of both of you guys. I appreciate you going to Honduras and carrying Christ's love. And just to kind of sum up our experience, and Dan, welcome to my world. It's hard to pack all of that experience into a short presentation, isn't it? Today is not about us coming up here to tell you what we did or what we experienced. It was hopefully to give you some glimpse of what we did together, because as Luke said, you supported us to go down there. You supported the orphanage getting their greenhouse recovered and getting all those fields planted. And as we gave out all those hugs, you were there with us. So we did that together. Through the grace of God, he lets us participate in his ministry. And I thank you all for supporting us to go, because honestly, I received way more of a blessing than I think I gave anyone else. As Luke said, once you get rid of the daily distractions we face and really get back to the heart of worship and really the heart of why we're here, why God allows us to go and connect with these people, it really changes who you are. And before we close, I'm going to share a short story with you. If you think, even if you just go 2,000 miles and hug a bunch of kids and tell them some Bible stories and come back, if you think that makes no difference, you're wrong. God is the ruler of a very small world because he's so great. We forget how powerful God is. I've been there 3 times, took my family there to this rural little community in Honduras called Guayamaca. I've made lots of dear friends there. And I come back to Virginia and go to get rid of my used dryer. And who picks it up but a kid that grew up in an orphanage in Guayamaca, Honduras. So just last week, I was blown away. I think he was more shocked than I was because he said, "You've heard of Guayamaca? Nobody's heard of Guayamaca." He grew up in the Mennonite community in a different children's home there. And so I texted pictures of me and him and Brenda to some of our friends in Honduras. And like, "Oh my gosh, how did you meet Jerry?" So Jerry lives in Farmville with his family. It's a very small world out there. And I don't even know why God connected Jerry and I yet. But I do know that our old dryer is headed to Honduras at some point soon. But you know, it's such a small world. And God doesn't need us to do anything great. He just needs us to be willing. That's it. If you'll just be obedient, then God will do whatever he wants to do right in front of you. And you'll be the one that receives the blessings. So as we close, I encourage you just to be thoughtful about that. If you feel God's prompting you to go to that orphanage in Honduras, to go to Uganda, Africa, or to go 2 houses down, just be obedient. If you'll just be obedient to his calling, he'll show you the way. He'll provide the way. And he'll change your life. So we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask, as we do, that the prayer team comes forward. Anthony comes forward. It doesn't even have to be in response to anything God's prompting you to do today. If you're feeling some form of pain today, if you have some need in your life or someone's on your heart, come forward and pray about it. Come forward and receive the help that God offers. Because just like those orphans that grew up in broken homes, we all have broken situations in our life. That's their way of saying it. It's time to end this. So we all have broken situations in our life. And there's only one place you can receive healing for those broken situations. And that's here at the feet of Christ. So come forward. We'll pray with you. Cue the music. I'm going to release Dan and Luke. And if God's prompting you, come forward. Receive the help that he offers.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.